Welcome to the Heroic Ahad Shabbat service. This is Jackson Snyder presenting today the Bishop Daniel Ben Regesh in an exciting message anointed just for you. Cut.
Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. We love you. We're glad to have you. Let's focus our minds in right now. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for your tov to us on the Shabbat. We thank you for another day that you have made. Father, our prayer is for us to really learn to rejoice in the days that you've given us. Your word said you've given every man a number. And that number is good. When that number comes up, someday we're going to lay down and we're not going to get back up. That happened to many people last night. They laid down and they didn't wake up because they passed from the scene in their sleep. But you have given us another day, the Shabbat, where we can rest and put off the cares of the world, the cares of our nation, and we could just focus on you. Father, we also lift up those individuals who are suffering in Texas and Louisiana. We thank you and we for life, and we thank you for surviving. But we ask, Father, that you give those leaders over there and those families wisdom and discernment as they go through the process of putting their lives back together. We thank you, Father, that there are those that in the Vero Senior Hard that went through that situation. And we thank you that they are safe. And so I will give us the wisdom and the Yahad to know what to do for them, if we need to do anything for them, and how we could help. So, Father, as we turn to you on this morning, we ask, Father, that you would bless this service, that you would bless the man that's going to bring the word, that you would bless the individual that's going to be doing the liturgical portion of this service. May everything that is said and done here this morning be of you, be to you, be by you, and be for you. Have it, Abba, to where it's less of us and more of you. And so, Father, as we come before your throne on this morning, we ask that you speedily accept the fire offerings that will be handed on the altar of praise, on the altar of thanksgiving, on the altar of salvation. We ask this in your precious name we pray. Amen, ve, amen. Now, before we get started, I'm going to ask everybody that can, well, not everybody that can, I'm going to ask everybody to please mute your microphones this morning as we get started. We put our video, we put these videos on Hebrew Nation Radio and other social media outlets, and we don't want it to interfere with the quality of what's being done. So if everybody could go on mute, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Hazen.
Good morning. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We hear the meditation. Our Father Yahweh tells us, keep justice and do right, for soon Yeshua T, my salvation, will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the one who holds this fast, who keeps the Shabbat, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the joined strangers say, Yahweh will surely call me out of his people. Let not the maimed say, I am a dry tree. For Yahweh says, to all those who keep my Shabbatot, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give a name better than sons and daughters, an everlasting name. Even the strangers who join themselves to minister to Yahweh and love my name, everyone who keeps the Shabbat and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my set-apart mountain, make them joyful in my house of prayer. For mine will be a house of prayer for all peoples. We bless Yahweh and hear the Kol Shofar. Blessed are you, Yahweh our Elohim, sovereign of the universe, who sanctifies us by your mitzvot and calls us to hear the Kol Shofar. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu, melech haolam, asher kitzanu be-mitzvotav, vitzvanu l'shmoa, Kol Shofar. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We bless Messiah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our Elohim, sovereign of the universe, who has given us the way of escape in Messiah Yahshua. Amen. Baruch atah Yahweh Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yahshua. So with joy we draw living waters from the springs of deliverance. Ush avtem chayim mayim b'sason mimeinei ha-Yeshua. We bless each other. On that day, Jacob blessed his grandchildren. He said, in time to come, the people of Israel will use you as a blessing. They will say, may Elohim make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, for men and boys. May Elohim make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Yesimcha Elohim ke Ephraim vehi Manasseh, for women and girls. May Elohim make you like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah. Yesimich Elohim ke Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, ve Leah. May Elohim bless you and watch over you. Ye verechecha Elohim v'yich merecha. May Elohim shine his face towards you and show you favor. Ye'er Elohim panav elecha v'chunecha. May Elohim be favorably disposed towards you and grant you peace. Yisa Elohim panav elecha v'yasim lecha shalom. We enter the set-apart home. How lovely are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwelling places, Israel. Matovu, Ohalika Yaakov, Mishkenoteka, Israel. Through your abundant favor, we will enter your set-apart home. In awe, we will bow down within your set-apart sanctuary. Ba'ani Barov Haraka Avo Vetika, Ish Tachave Elhekal Ka Shika Beir Ateka. We love the home you live in and the place where your radiance resides. Yahweh Ahavte Meon Beteka Umkom Mishkan Kevodika. We will fall and bow, bending the knee before Yahweh our Maker. Ba'ani Ish Tachave Ve'ek Rea Evreka Yifne Yahweh Osi. May our prayers to you be at the appropriate time. Ve'ani Tefilati Lecha Yahweh Et Ratzon. In your abundant righteousness, answer us with the truth of your rescue. Elohim Berav Haraka Aneni Be'emet Yishika. We favor kin and talmudim. May it be your will, Yahweh our Elohim, and Elohim of our foreparents, that you show favor to us and all our friends and relations, and that you grant us and all in Israel a good and long life, that you remember us with good thoughts and blessings, that you consider us with your salvation and your compassion, that you bless us with great gifts and favors, that you make our households complete, that you cause your presence to dwell among us at all times. Privilege us to train up our youth, proselytes, disciples, and all Talmudim in wisdom, understanding, in loving and revering Yahweh, in belonging to Yahshua, the Anointed One, and being committed to Him. Let them be people of truth, set apart for Yahweh, to illuminate the world with Torah and Tov Mitzvot, doing all in the service of Yahweh. Hear our supplication right now, and give us the same favor as our spiritual mothers and fathers. Cause our light to shine as a reflection of your face for all ages, so that all Israel might be saved. Amen. We recite the Shema. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Eicha, Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto, Leolam Vayeh. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is one. Blessed is the name of his esteemed realm forever. And you will love Yahweh, your Elohim, Ve'ahavta et Yahweh Eloheka, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Bekol levavka uvkol nafshecha uvkol miadeka. And you will love your neighbor as yourself. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamoka. Let these words that I command you this day be upon your heart. Vihanu hadevarim hayanle asher anoki meitzavka hayom levaveka. You will teach them diligently to your children. Vishi namtam levaneka vidibartabam, and speak of them when you sit in your house. Vishivtika, vevetika, When you walk upon the path, when you retire, and when you arise. Uvmetika. Uvshokbika. Uvkumeka. And you will bind them for a sign upon your hand. Ukshartam leot al yadika. And let them be frontlets between your eyes. Beayu letotafot bein enika. And you will write them on the doors and the gates of your house. Ute tatam al mezuzot betika uvish areka. We bless the blessed. This is a responsive reading, so if you see the bald, please join in and read. Baruch Yahweh Hamevorak. Baruch Yahweh Hamevorak Leolam Vayed. Bless Yahweh, the Blessed One. Blessed is Yahweh, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Remember the Shabbat day to keep it set apart. 6 days will you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you will not do any work. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all is in them, and rested on the seventh day. That is why Yahweh blessed the seventh day and set it apart. Speak also unto the children of Israel, saying, above all, my Shabbatot you will keep, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. The Israelites are to observe the Shabbat, celebrating it for the generations to come as an enduring covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. And it will come to pass that from one new month to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh. We minister shalom. Shalom be yours, ministering Malachim. Malachim of the El Elyon, coming forth from the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the set-apart one. Blessed is he. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharat, Malachi Elyon, Malachi Hamalachi HaKadosh Baruch. May your coming forth be in shalom, Malachim of Shalom, Malachim of the El Elyon, coming forth from the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the set-apart one. Blessed is he. Boakim leshalom malake, hashalom malake, elyon, me melek malake hamalakim, hakadosh baruch hu. Bless us with shalom, Malachim of Shalom, Malachim of the El Elyon, coming forth from the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the set apart one. Blessed is he. Barkune. I'm going to start that over and not sing it. Barkune leshalom malake hashalom malake elyon memelek malke hamlakim hakadosh baruch hu. Thank you. We hear the word and the teaching. Let the words of the teacher's mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let the prophets prophesy. Whenever the ark set out, Moshe said, arise, O Yahweh, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee before you.
Amen. Brother Ray Boshears, Elder Ray Boshears.
Elder Ray.
What is that Tov Divar that Yahweh is giving you on this Shabbat? Bring it forth.
Shabbat Shalom. I'm trying to get this. Oh, there we are. Thank you. All right. I guess if I'm going to try to honor Dr. Snyder's request for the next few hours, it looks like we're going to be talking about passionate about prayer. So we're going to talk about passionate about pressure. Yeah, that's right. So if you can hang around for about 3 or 4 hours, then you will definitely show yourself to be passionate at least. So, but, you know, when we think about pressure, we picture it in different forms. You know, some of us may think of the Three Stooges, you know, and Curly having his head put in a vise by Moe. Others may be thinking of a booker to be prepared. Both of these above mentioned forms of pressure are meant to bring about a desired response. Of course, the first one is to get Curly in line, and the second one is to prepare food more quickly. Our text comes from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 in verses 29 through 30, and he states, "For it has been given to you on the Messiah's behalf not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for him, having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I have." If you will notice what he said, "but also to suffer for him." Think about that, Ed. We have been given the gift of suffering for Yeshua's sake. Suffering brings pressure, and pressure, when it is not relieved, brings pain. And when we feel pressure, the first thing we want is a release from the source of what is causing us to suffer. You know, it's like when I go to the gym. After I've properly warmed up for the exercises that I will be performing, you know, I'll start what they call my working sets. And if I do it correctly, then somewhere along the way in that first exercise, I will start to feel the pressure of the weight on the muscle that I'm working. I have two choices. You know, first, I can stop the exercise, and thereby I'll stop the pain because I'm no longer, you know, engaged with the source of my suffering. And the second is to continue until the muscle I'm working fails to move the weight anymore. In exercise terms, this is called reaching failure, and it is to be attained. That's right. You are trying to fail. The pain and the suffering are to be endured so that the muscle will have sustained maximum damage. After giving the muscle proper time to heal, it will get stronger. The body will begin the healing process just as soon as everything is finished. And as a matter of fact, even while exercising, the body is busy shuttling nutrients into the muscle. You know, it is strange. When we set a goal for ourselves, we will endure whatever we have to so that we will reach that goal. Does it involve losing sleep? Not a problem. What about changing the way you eat? Okay, you'll do that. What about practicing a technique until you can no longer get it wrong? Okay, that sounds good to you. You'll even study a foreign language so that you can understand it and speak it better than the native born. You have no problems pushing yourself that hard. But what about to suffer quietly while those who defamed you are rewarded? Well, let's not get too crazy with all that pain and suffering, remember. As you've been told, a person has his limits. But my question to you today is, should a child of Yahweh have limits? You know, even when these limits entail suffering and pressure, remember, it's the Apostle Paul said, it's been given to us to suffer on behalf of the Messiah. And what a great gift it is. This path of suffering is known as the way, and it is also called the way of the cross. In Matthew chapter 16, in verses 24 and 25, we read, "Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." John Wesley says the following in his commentary concerning these two verses. "If any man be willing to come after me, none is forced, but if any will be a follower of Messiah, it must be on these terms. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. A rule that can never be too much observed. Let him in all things deny his own will, however pleasing, and do the will of Elohim, however painful. Should we not consider all crosses, all things grievous to flesh and blood, as what they really are, as opportunities of embracing Elohim's will at the expense of our own? And consequently, as so many steps by which we may advance towards perfection, we should make a swift progress in the spiritual life if we were faithful in this practice. Crosses are so frequent that whoever makes advantage of them will soon be a great gainer. Great crosses are occasions of great improvement, and the little ones, which come daily and even hourly, make up in number what they may want in weight. We may, in these daily and hourly crosses, make effectual oblations of our will to Elohim, which oblations, so frequently repeated, will soon amount to a great sum. Let us remember, then, that Elohim is the author of all events, that none is so small or even inconsiderable as to escape his notice and direction. Every event, therefore, declares to us the will of Elohim, to which thus declared we should heartily submit. We should renounce our own to embrace it. We should approve and choose what his choice warrants as best for us. Herein should we exercise ourselves continually. This should be our practice all the day long. We should, in humility, accept the little crosses that are dispensed to us as those that best suit our weaknesses. Let us bear these little things, at least for Elohim's sake, and prefer his will to our own in matters so small importance. And his goodness will accept these mean oblations, for he despiseth not the day of small things. Whosoever will save his life comes at the expense of his conscience. Whosoever, in the very highest instance, that of life itself, will not renounce himself shall be lost eternally. But can any man hope he should be able thus to renounce himself if he cannot do it in the smallest instances? And that's from his explanatory notes upon the New Testament. So if you don't mind, let's take a moment and let's talk about these little crosses. You know, one of these can be when someone speaks to us in a harsh or demeaning way. We have one of two choices. The first is to defend ourselves and to slight our opposition in any way possible. When we are spoken to in this way, it is easy to feel hurt, especially if we truly don't deserve it. We can find ourselves wanting to exploit whatever weakness they may have to get back at them. The second way is to take our emotions and our feelings out of the situation and calmly handle the situation. In most cases, this is going to require us to speak to them in a more respectful manner than what we are being spoken to. I have been told too on more than one occasion that I should have, quote, let the other person have it. I've also been told that sometimes you just, quote, have to be mean to get your point across. And I've been toting that by standing up and letting them have it, that it shows that I have a backbone. I've had to take the time to explain to those people that by not letting them have it, that was a lot harder than the other way. It takes more out of me to not retaliate. This is what we would call a one-hour cross, if you will. But remember, as John Wesley stated, it's these one-hour crosses, they do not go unnoticed by our Heavenly Father. For you, it may be something different. You know, maybe your one-hour cross is that, you know, you've just gotten your meal for the third time at a restaurant and it's still wrong. How do you speak to the one waiting on you then? We need to remember that those we deal with, and especially those outside of the household of faith, are bruised and they're broken. Some of them in ways they do not realize, and we must remember at all times that they are suffering at the hand of a cruel taskmaster. Remember, the slight pressure that you are feeling for this period of time is bringing about a work in you. Well, maybe yours is a little longer. Maybe we could call it a daily cross, if you will. And maybe it's one of those in which everything you do or say is questioned. You know, it starts at home, continues on at work. And when people ask you for help or advice, they question your ability to give either. And it all only comes to a merciful end when you finally lay your head down to sleep. Because of the overflowing of Yahweh's mercies, you never blew up on anyone. You politely explained yourself each time and you kept moving forward. But except now you are questioning yourself. A day filled with, why would you ever think that? Or why did you do that? Ends with you doubting your own self-worth. But this is not the time to doubt your own worth. Yahweh has taken notice of all of these happenings. Small pressings throughout the day, they lead you to drawing nearer to Yahweh. Look at these small pressings. Look at these small times of pressure and suffering as bringing forth oil in your spiritual life. But why oil, you ask? Oil because of the words of the Master. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light in those times came by using a lamp filled with oil. This oil could be either animal or vegetable. The type most referred to in Scripture, though, is the oil from the olive. And this oil was attained by bruising, by crushing, by grinding, or by walking on the olive. Now remember, not one thing happens without our Heavenly Father knowing about it. So He sees you. He sees you when you are being bruised, and He sees you when you are being crushed, and He sees you when you are being ground down and walked upon. But by not refusing these opportunities, we become a more pure oil for Him to be seen by. Truthfully, none of us like this kind of pressure. But by enduring it until the end, a pure and holy spiritual being is being formed in His image. In other words, you are becoming a son or daughter of light in this dark world. When I was younger, there was always talk about the tensions between the East and the West. When something happened between an Eastern Bloc nation and one from the West, they referred to it as, quote, the heightening tensions between the East and the West. But now we have, in our very own country, heightening tensions between the left and the right, between Democrats and Republicans, between liberals and conservatives. Each side is attacking the other, both verbally and physically. And I'm here to tell you that as a son or daughter of light, you will at some point in time face a son or daughter of darkness. These are just the times we live in. The days are getting darker, and we must be more passionate about our times of pressing and our times of crushing. We must not seek our own form of release, but wait patiently for our Heavenly Father to receive the good oil that He is worthy of coming from us.
שיר למעלות, אשא עיני אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי? עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למוט רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומרך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלות, אשא עיני אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי? עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים תן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם.
Our Heavenly Father desires for brightly burning lamps to walk upon His creation. He desires this and He calls us to it. In writing to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul states in chapter 3, verses 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. John Wesley said, concerning this passage, quote, "We are in every respect laid in a fit posture for, by the very design and contrivance of Elohim himself, for the trial and increase of our faith and all other graces. He gives riches to the world, but notice this, but stores up his treasure of wholesome afflictions for his children," end of quote. Maybe you're trying to take the good news to someone and another person or group are hindering you, like Paul is speaking about to the Thessalonians. Or maybe you're just trying to restore a relationship and it is being hindered by another person. Whatever small pressing you may be undergoing is the opportunity you need to be pressed of spiritual oil. You, whether you realize it or not, are becoming a vessel of oil for the Almighty. But let's move on for just a moment. What about the greater pressings? What about the greater sufferings? As we already know, Almighty Yahweh knows every action anyone can take in any situation. Nothing is beyond His knowing, and that is why we're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to His purpose." This is not just another religious platitude. This verse has witnesses from Scripture, and we're going to look at two of them. First, out of the Old Testament, think about Joseph. He has a dream in which his parents and brothers are bowing down to him. It's this dream, among other reasons, that puts him at odds with his brothers. They decide they want to kill him. But think about it. But killing him would have short-circuited Yahweh's will. So they put him in a pit. Leaving him there wasn't the fulfillment of anything. So he was sold into slavery to a group of people headed to Egypt. At least now, though, he is finally headed in the right direction to fulfill that dream. But not so fast. Now he has to be falsely accused and thrown into prison. While in prison, he gets exalted. And while there, he explains the dreams of two of Pharaoh's servants. The one who lives promptly forgets about him. But what if the other had lived? Would he have went straight to Pharaoh and gotten Joseph out of prison? Could Joseph then have left Egypt, maybe went into another country? But that is not to happen. Joseph is to spend more time in an Egyptian prison. Have you ever wondered how much Joseph cried out to Yahweh while he was there? How much he prayed and begged for relief? Have you ever thought about just how crushed he had become? But one day he was remembered and he was exalted in power. He was promoted to the second most powerful position. Only Pharaoh was more powerful. The time of famine had come and Joseph's brothers make their way into Egypt. Have you ever thought that while in prison, Joseph may have thought about revenge? But the person who got pulled out of an Egyptian prison was not the same person who got pulled out of the pit and sold as a slave. The pressing had been finished and the mighty works of Yahweh needed to be done. A family had to be saved so that a nation could be born. As Paul Harvey would say, you all know the rest of that story. But what I'm talking about here is that times of extended pressure, times of extended pressing, times of extended suffering are to be cherished like the small times of pressing we face. Yahweh is desiring to do something great, and He has chosen a people that He will work through to accomplish His will. In these extended times, do not be tempted to short-circuit Yahweh's will just because you are tired of the suffering and pressure. Embrace the pressure. Embrace the suffering you're going through. Say to your Heavenly Father that if it is His will, then it is your will. Ask Him to anoint you with the oil of gladness to deliver you through this pressing so that your Heavenly Father is seen and glorified. Our second example is that of our Messiah in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read in Luke chapter 22 and verses 39 through 46, "And He came out and went, as He was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appealed an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when He rose up from prayer and was come to His disciples, He found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." And in Mark chapter 14, verse 33, we read, "And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." John Wesley wrote concerning this sore amazed, the original words impart the most shocking amazement mingled with grief. And that word in the next verse, which we render sorrowful, intimates that he was surrounded with sorrow on every side, breaking in upon him with such violence as was ready to separate his soul from his body. When he talks about him being in agony, he says he was probably just now grappling with the powers of darkness, feeling the weight of the wrath of Elohim, and at the same time surrounded with a mighty host of devils who exercised all their force and malice to persecute and distract his wounded spirit. And when it came to his sweat, it says John Wesley believes that it was cold, the weather was outside, and that his blood, his sweat, which came down as great drops of blood, he states, which by the vehement distress of his soul were forced out of the pores in so great a quantity as afterward united in a large, thick, grumorous drops and even fell to the ground. You see, the time for Yeshua to face his cross was upon him. The weight of the Mormon bore down upon him. His flesh did not desire the death that it was destined for. Maybe in some way he could already build separation from his father. To be quite honest, pressure and suffering have a way of making us feel separated from our Heavenly Father. It is in these moments of feeling separated that we need to cry out to him even stronger. All of heaven and the powers of darkness were watching to see what was going to happen. Could one who had never sinned submit himself to his Father in such a way that he would also be submitting himself to vile creatures who had no idea who he truly was? And then it happened. At first, maybe it was not even perceptible to anyone watching except the Father. Amid the cold, amid the shivering, it happened. One drop, and then another, until there was no mistaking what was happening. Even before the cross, the Son of Yah would shed his blood. We read this, and you know, we think about the amount of pressure he was under as the blood fell on the ground. But in truth, something else was happening. It was the acceptance of his Father's will. The pressure was gone. Blood sweating, this is an article from the government website. Blood sweating is called hematohidrosis. 2-hematohidrosis occurs in bleeding disorders. It may occur in individuals suffering from extreme levels of stress. Around the sweat glands, there are multiple blood vessels in a net-like form, which constrict under the pressure of great stress. Then, as the anxiety passes, the blood vessels then dilate to the point of rupture, and it goes into the sweat glands. As the sweat glands produce a lot of sweat, they push the blood to the surface, which comes out as droplets of blood mixed with sweat. When the blood began to flow, it was an outward sign of the inward acceptance of Yahweh's will. At no time during this did Yeshua walk away from this testing. He continued to talk to his Father, even with all of the outward and inward pressure. And even while being under intense agony and pressure himself, when he got up, he came and encouraged his disciples to remain awake and to resist temptation. And this is the example that we, brothers and sisters, are called to emulate. The writer in Hebrews states in Hebrews chapter 12 in the first four verses, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In the face of crushing loss, embrace the crushing. Be passionate for it. Amid the relentless pressing, embrace the pressure. Be passionate for it. As I encouraged you the last time to have a pure heart, even more so do I now, so that the oil which comes from you will be most pure. For you, brothers and sisters, are becoming a vessel in which the oil of the Spirit is growing ever more in quantity. You are being filled in these times of pressing. You also are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses and just by those around you. In your pressing, be a relief to those around you. I do not know what kind of trial or testing you may face. James writes to those in the dispersion in James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Whether it be sin, whether it be a tragic loss, or whether it be the fear of the unknown, remember this. As you are being driven to your knees, cry out to your Heavenly Father for His purpose, so that in rising up, you, brothers and sisters, may lift those around you and be an encouragement to them. Do not cut this time short, for it is a gift from Elohim. That's right, it's a gift. Remember our text from Philippians. For it has been given to you on Messiah's behalf, not only to believe in Him, but to also suffer for Him. So when you do not cut it short, you become a gift to the family of Elohim and to this dark world. You become your Heavenly Father's light. You present to this world the one who created it. Those around you are watching to see if you actually believe what you preach. So whether the testing be light and for a short time, or very heavy and for an extended period, be passionate about what the Father is doing to you. Because there is a work that He desires to do through you, and He desires you to be filled with the oil of His Spirit so that you may shine brightly no matter the depth of the darkness around you. Unless you think what I said are just words of my own, I will leave you with this encouragement from the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Philippians. So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is Elohim who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of Elohim who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. If you'll join me in short prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you at this time, give you thanks for this opportunity of coming together on this year's Shabbat day. Father, I pray that somehow that these words which I have spoken may have been pleasing unto you, and that, Father, they will be a blessing unto your people. Not so much, Father, that they are my words, but that, Father, they are words which come from you. And just as your people, may your words, Father, not return unto you void, but may you receive from us, Father, the good pressing of the oil in us, Father, that we, Father, in this time of darkness and at this time of trial and testing, we may be the lights, Father, the lights that shine so brightly that they see you, Father, in the heavens, and that they glorify your Son, whom you've given through us through your love. And this we ask in the name of your Son. Amen and amen.
Amen. Very tov devar. Very tov devar. Chazen?
When the ark rested, Moshe said, "Return, O Yahweh, to the 10,000 thousands of Israel. We pray together. Our Father in the sky, may your name be sanctified. Aveinu shebashamayim yitkadash shimka. May your reign be blessed. Your will be done in sky and land. Biyit barak malkutka retzonka yeheye asui bashamayim uva aretz. Continually give us our bread. Forgive us our sin debts, as we forgive the debt of those who sin against us. Betitain lakmenu tiredit umikal lanu ki tutenu kaasher amaknu mukalim lakotim lanu. Do not bring us into the nets of a snare. Beyal tevi enu lide nisayon, and protect us from the evil one. Amen. Beshom rimu mikol ra. Amen. We minister shalom. May your departure be in shalom, Malachim of Shalom, Malachim of the El Elyon, coming forth from the Sovereign of Sovereigns, the Set Apart One. Blessed is He. Zetchim zetchim leshalom malareke hashalom malake Elyon mimelech malke hamlakim hakadosh baruch hu. We sing the song of peace. Shalom, my friends. Shalom to you now. Shalom, my friends. May Yahweh's mercies bless you well, my friends, in all your living and through your loving. Yahweh be your shalom. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yahweh be your shalom. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Ye barecha hecha Yahweh be yishmeraka. Yair Yahweh panev alecha vi chunika. Yisa Yahweh panav alecha vi yasam lecha shalom. Thank you, everyone. I don't know what announcements there are today. I know that
I got a
Bishop
few.
Daniel has something.
I knew it. Last night, hold on one sec. Okay, I'm on. Say again. What, Jackson? Okay, there will be no 1 o'clock service for the Vero Beach group. And will there be a 3:33? And there will be a 3:33 club on Zoom at 2:30 p.m. The Yehada East Tennessee will have its first service on Zoom. Feel free to join us. It's going to be high time in Yahweh as we get a work started in the East Tennessee area. So be praying for that, interceding for that. We're going to be bringing some people locally together. Marcel and Todd are going to be here. Ann and Steve Locandy will be here. And if it be Yahweh's will, a work will be forged in fire here as we offer the people of East Tennessee an alternative to tyrannical religious government. So feel free to join us here at 2:30 p.m. We will get started at 2:30 p.m. So you may want to log on a little earlier and join us as we give Yahweh all the praise and the honor and the glory. That's it for announcements. Any other announcements? Okay. Service is finito. We love you. Shabbat shalom. And we'll see you back here at 2:30 p.m.
So now we'll start comedy hour. First up today is Lee Hayhurst singing Dominique.
Oh, is that what that is?
Are you ready?
What happened?
Lee, come sing Dominique. Would you mind?
What? I already done it.
We're doing a comedy hour right now.
You think Dominique?
Come on.
Yay.
Hey.
Here
he comes.
Where am I? Ah, yes. Dominique, Nika, Samuel, to some blama. Utia, probation, ta. When the family, I'll put you in a pot to keep put you in a pot to keep put you. And that's all I know, because the rest has choruses too. But I'm so old, I can't remember what I sing to you. Dominique, Nika, Nika, Samuel, to some blama. And I'm hungry, so I'll go say bye, bye, bye in a pot to keep on to.
Now.
And what challenge?
Sing
you can sing the flying nod. We enjoy the service and that wonderful teaching. Every Shabbat, the Vero Essen Yahad broadcasts three services. The first is at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The second at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and the 3:33 Club is on at 3:33 p.m. So many people ask, why do you call it the 3:33 Club? Isn't that Masonic? Look what time we have it at, 3:33. Okay, that's all straight now. You can join in, if you please. We also have at least two live events a week on Tuesday night starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. On Tuesday nights, we have been going through Robert Eisenman's New Testament Code and laying down commentary for that. It's a very difficult book to read, but it's also very rewarding if you can. The commentary is going to help you a lot to get through it. Friday night, usually there's a series of Melchizedek or Enneagram or something worthwhile for either your knowledge or your life. Then we have other ones in between two once in a while. Plus we have a number of YouTube teachers now that are just going at it like crazy in order to get the word out. That is to reveal the elect and to be agents in the amelioration or healing of all of creation. For information on just how to get on with your cell phone or with your computer, or even with your landline, go to veroyahad.org. The information's right there on the first page. And while you're out there, you might as well look around and see what we've got. We're adding more to the site every day, including a number of valuable ebooks that you can borrow or even get for free, including my publications, translations of the Nazarene Acts or the Clementines, translation of Enoch, translation of Epistle of Barnabas. These are not fill-in-the-blanks Hebrew roots translations, so-called. These are translations from the original languages. And many, many more. Next week, we're going to start a certification course. It'll last 6 months. Certification in what? Pneumatology. That is spiritual things, spiritual gifts, domata, charismata, and pneumaticoi. If you're interested in that, again, I ask you to write to me, veryahad@gmail.com. And I hope you have a great rest of Shabbat as we sign off for this broadcast. Yah bless you real good.